familiar verse text. Hey, nobody bought a shirt. I got four t-shirts. I got two Valley View Baptist larges and two smalls. So let me know if you're gonna. It would have been a hot ticket. Had some beer commercial on it, everybody be buying the thing, man. Amen. Psalm 23. And the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to talk to you tonight about the comforting rod. There in verse 4, says the last part of verse 4, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David had said at the very beginning of the psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I like, this is a great text to use in a funeral, man. I'll tell you what, it's got everything in there. You can start out backwards, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But if the Lord's your shepherd, then goodness and mercy will follow, and he'll lead you through green. You know, it's a good thing. He started off saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the last verse, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then when we see, the reason David could say those things, and I try to point this out when I use that verse, this text, that, you know, there was confidence in what David said. He had risen to a level of confidence in things about God. Now, there's ways that you get there, and you know how David's life went. He went through a lot of things to get to that point. But he had risen to a great degree of confidence in God. But in between, "The Lord is my shepherd, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," he said, in between, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And you have to think about that just a little bit. A rod and a staff comfort me. Now, the staff, I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to talk more about the rod. But the staff, you know, what is meant by the word staff? A staff would have been something that somebody would use for support. They could lean on it for support, but they would use it for that. Sometimes the word staff is used in another way. The word staff can be used to mean bread. And so, you know, bread that you eat, the staff of life. There's a word you can use it in that terminology right there. Another meaning, of course, but it really pictures physical support, right? Physical support, staff, and something to lean on, something to walk with. It's a metaphor. You know, it's metaphorically used of God's support. It's also metaphorically used as God's providence, you know, the way God controls everything, takes care of everything, the staff of divine protection. We could look at it that way, the providence of God. And when we think about that, you know, the church itself wouldn't have lasted without the providence or the divine protection from God. I think about the days that we're living in now. Boy, we're getting in some wicked days. And you know, we see how our nation is and how the world is. And I talked about that briefly a little bit, mentioned something this morning about that. And then we think about the in Jesus' day, there was satanic attack. I don't think that's ever ceased, but we saw it. It was visible, satanic attack, demon possession. We're living in the last days, I think, now, and I think Christians, if you're living close to God, that you're seeing the attacks from the devil himself. I'm from the world, but that's just Satan using them, but it's really coming from Satan himself. And so everything of God is under attack. The Word of God's under attack. The Church of God's under attack. The people of God are under attack. And so without God, and the church would have never stood all the assaults that's been from the beginning of the church all the way to this day, it never would have made it, you know, without the divine protection from God himself. And all of hell is against the church, and we're seeing it today. And then Revelation chapter 13, we see the beast rise up out of the sea with seven heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. The Bible talks about that. And the Bible says that he, that beast, had power and authority, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Really, if you take that in context, it meant to try to overcome them, to try to overcome the people of God. But, you know, we have God. I mean, we've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah on our side. And so we he's got a rod and he's got a staff. And it's the rod of God and the staff of God. And so I just kind of wanted to go on the staff a little bit because both of them are put together. But since there's two things, there's two words and there's two things. We see a rod. It says, "Thy rod doth comfort me." And when we start thinking about that, we think, what is a rod? When we think about a rod in Scripture, there's different references to it. But as when it relates to God, we can see three things out of it. I'm going to talk about them tonight. We can see a destroying rod. There is a pastoral rod. And there is a rod of affliction, or which would mean discipline, a rod of discipline. And two of the points I want to go over, and then I got one main one, the third thing I really want to talk about the most. And we see the very first thing is God's destroying rod. In reference to the heathen, Psalm 2:9 says, "Thou shalt break them," the heathen, "with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." That's what God said about the heathen. The Bible tells us that during the millennial reign, during the millennial period, that the Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. Now, buddy, I mean, somebody got a rod of iron, and you're going to rule with a rod of iron. You know what that rod is standing for. I mean, that rod is standing for judgment, for correction. Anybody gets out of line. And so we think about that. Boy, there's comfort. There should be comfort to God's people in knowing that God has a rod for his enemies. I mean, that's what we know. Listen, everything's going. Brother Les and I were on the phone last night. We were talking about it. And I was talking with somebody else the other day about it as well. It's sad to see. I said something about this morning. I'm going to save most of it for the 4th of July. But, the country, our country, like we knew it. And it wasn't perfect. Listen, this country wasn't perfect in the 60s by a long shot, or the 70s by a long shot. But I'm going to tell you what, looking back now and looking at what we're looking at now, I'd take them days any day of the week, man. I'm telling you what, it's unbelievable. And the sad thing is, and Les and I talked about it yesterday afternoon, it's gone forever. Yeah. It is never coming back. This country is never getting back to what she was once. No. And it breaks my heart, man. It breaks my heart. But it can't, scripturally, it can't. It cannot. We've got to go down the path that we're on, and this is our time and all that. But I know that God's got a rod, and he's got a rod for the enemies of his enemies, which would be our enemies. Psalm 58:10 says, "The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked." And that's some strong words right there. The righteous shall rejoice when he, the righteous, seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Well, there's a question there that arises. And, you kind of think about this. We talk about love of God and we're filled with God. How can the godly be comforted in the destruction of the wicked? How can the godly be comforted in the destruction of the wicked? Or how far can we go in that rejoicing? I mean, it's kind of a sad thing, the destruction of the wicked. I've always been one. Listen, I believe, I've shared this with you. It's probably been a long time since I said it. But I mean, the Bible teaches that the capital punishment. I mean, they put people to death for a whole lot more reasons than we do today. Huh? You know what happened to adulterers in the Old Testament? Put them to death, buddy. Put them to death. Homosexuals, put to death. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. You were stealing things, they lop off your hand. How about that one? That would slow you down. Huh? I mean, listen. I mean, it was more severe. It was severe, but it was a reason behind it. And so we see But I've always thought this, and I see it today. There's people that deserve the death sentence. Man, listen, they do. They've heinous crimes, especially repetitive ones. I mean, something that's not done in passion, but I'm talking about plotted and planned. And this is, but I tell you what, and I think they ought to be put to death. But I tell you what, I think it's wrong is to be glad about it. I think it's wrong in the one sense, in the sense, the biblical sense I'm going to give you in a minute. I get it, but I just think, you know, it's sad. There's another family that's destroyed. There's another set of parents that are heartbroken, and there's a life that's wasted, somebody that could have done something different with their life. It's a crying shame. Should they be put to death? Yes. You know, can we, the rejoicing would be different. It's different, and I'll show you what I'm talking about in a minute. How far can we go? Well, we can rejoice for a different reason, not because a life is lost and that deserved to be lost and they paid the ultimate price for the mistake they made. But we can rejoice when the wicked are destroyed because it puts a stop to iniquity. It puts a stop to their sins. We're seeing this played out on the news every day. People that are coming in, they're getting let go. They're letting them over the border, and not only the ones over the border, the ones in our own country, committing crimes, put them right back on the street, and what do they do? They go out and commit the same crime right over again. It didn't put a stop to their sins, did it? Huh? Listen, man, listen. When there's a destruction of the wicked, it puts a stop to their sin. Listen, they can't any longer dishonor God. Boy, when that millennial reign, when he rules with a rod of iron, guess what? All the smart alecks are going to shut up. Huh? We're not going to listen to nobody belly aching about prayer in school, and we're going to have a Bible and we're going to have it. They're not all going to be believers, but I'm going to tell you what, they're not going to cause no trouble. Huh? The liberals aren't going to be trying to run everything and get a hold of everything. Everything's going to be right the way it ought to be. We're not going to hear a peep out of them. Boy, church is going to be good. Huh? Guess what? In the millennial period, I thought about it. Ain't nobody going to be laying out of church. Not during the millennial reign, man. We're all going to be in church. Why? Because he's ruling with a rod of iron. Huh? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. We're all going to be right there. Church going to be filled up on Sunday night. Church going to be filled up on Sunday morning. By the way, I should have had you ladies. I was going to tell all the ladies that sang this morning to come up here and do us one like off the top of your head. I mean, y'all could have sang a song today, right? Anyway, side lesson. Y'all wouldn't do it, would you? But it's not going to be, church is going to be good during the millennial period. There'll be a bunch of lost people sitting in churches then too, but they'll be there, right? Kind of like now. But they'll be there. They'll all be, it's going to be a good time, and we're not going to have no guff out of the government. We're not going to get a bunch, you know, we're not going to be able to, we'll be able to paint religious themed Easter eggs on Easter at the White House and wherever we're living at the time. All that, it's all going to be okay because the Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. We can rejoice because God's justice is going to be declared to all the world. Huh? You know, the flesh in me just is going to be want to say one time, you know, I know we won't feel like this, but if we're going to get in the flesh, we're going to say, uh-huh, I told you, you wouldn't listen. Huh? I told you God was real. I told you God was right. I told you the Lord was coming back. Huh? You wouldn't listen. Huh? Now what do you got to say? Boy, huh? Whole lot of people in Congress are going to be in trouble, right? Now what do you got to say? God's justice is going to be declared to the world. See, right now they don't think God's real. They don't think God's coming back. They think they're going to keep on running in their sin. And there's people in Christianity, there's people that are claiming to be Christians, or there might even be some Christians that think they're going to keep on running in their sin. But one day, man, God's going to put a stop to it. That felt real good. That's going to put a stop to it. God's going to put a stop to it, and it's going to be different. And that's what's going to happen. God's destruction, here's another reason we can rejoice. The destruction, God's destruction of the ungodly is a warning to other people. Huh? It's a warning. Just think. Boy, if God had an Elijah walking around or an Elisha walking around today, boy, and boom, calling down fire out of heaven and pow, pow, pow. Boy, there'd be some nervous people walking around this world. Huh? Altars would be filled up. Huh? Pastor, let's just have altar call to start the service off. Let's don't wait to the end because boom, there's a judgment, 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 judgment. Boom, 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 boom. It's a warning to others and it'll cause them to fear God. It'll cause people to fear God. We can rejoice because of that. It'll cause them to fear sin. Man, I don't want to get in sin, man. God's well, listen, it's a reality as well. There's still the judgment fires of hell. Hell's just as real as anything else. Deuteronomy chapter 17, 12 through 13 says, "And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously." The whole point of capital punishment, it's a deterrent. It's a deterrent. Judgment is there. How many of us got the kind of capital punishment that your parents would dole out in the old days? Yeah, buddy, a belt on your backside, right? It did kind of. Boy, you was either going to make sure you didn't get caught or you just wasn't going to do it, right? Because you didn't want, it caused you to do no more presumptuously. Some of us can learn a lesson, right? So the rod of God is a comfort to the godly. God's destroying rod is a comfort to the godly because peace and deliverance arises to the church of God. I said a few minutes ago, we're not going to have no trouble during the millennial period. No hassle. We'll be able to have a manger scene out front. Don't have to go get government permission or anything like that. So in Acts 12, you remember after old Herod, you know how Herod was after Christ and after the church. It said he was eaten up with worms and he died. What a way to go. And the text says that after that, the word of God grew and multiplied after Herod was taken out of the way. That's going to be the effect of the evil people being destroyed by the rod of God. The church is not going to have the problems that we have today. So we see a destroying rod, and then we see another little point I just want to get on before I get the main one. God's pastoral rod. We're looking at a psalm from a shepherd. David was a shepherd. He used that terminology. It made sense to them if you don't know anything about sheep, but they had a rod that they would use, a shepherding rod, and that he used that to guide the sheep to green pastures and still waters. God uses that to guide us as well. They say, it's what I've heard, that they say that if they had a sheep, sheep are in flocks. You don't drive sheep, you lead sheep. You walk in front, they lead. But every now and then you had a sheep that just didn't want to stay in the flock. We got them, that straying sheep. They would take the rod and break one of the sheep's legs. And then he had to limp. And now he couldn't wander off so far. It seems very cruel. But the sheep didn't lose his life. Because if the sheep had got away from the flock and a wolf's, he got killed. Right? But why did our parents give us a whipping, by the way? Just enjoyed inflicting pain? No, because they was trying to save your life. They was trying to save you from ruining your life or maybe even physically losing your life. They were trying to keep you from doing things that's going to harm you. And sometimes that's what had to be done. They would break a sheep's leg and he couldn't walk as fast. He couldn't walk as far. He'd stay. If he did wander, he wouldn't wander off so far because he had to limp just along. Sounds bad. And then he direct them to green pastures. But the main point that I want to talk about is God's disciplining rod. God's disciplining rod, or also called the rod of affliction. The rod of affliction. He said, "Thy rod doth comfort me." That's what David said. The rod. You think about that. The rod comfort me. Now, you could always think about, well, the rod's comforting me if God's using it as a delivering rod where he's fighting off the enemies because of it. But, it just seems like a paradox for the flesh that the rod would be a comfort, the rod of affliction. Well, how does the rod of affliction comfort us? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. The number one, it comforts as it gives instruction. Micah 7:14, the Bible says, "Feed thy people with thy rod." Feed thy people with thy rod. Well, feed, the word feed can also be translated shepherd, and the word shepherd can also be translated teach. See, so you shepherding is your teaching. We just had a teacher's meeting. We were talking about the teachers, about teaching. Now, there's a lot of ways to be taught, right? You know, you learn, how many of them say, well, we learn by your mistakes? Well, some people do, but some people keep making the same mistake over and over again. But if you, when I was a little boy, my great-grandmother had a wood cook stove. That went in coal and wood cook stove. And Mom kept saying, you know, Danny, they call me Danny. Danny, stay away. Don't touch it. My mom said, I'll fix it. She just took my hand and stuck it on the stove. You know, controlled burn. And boy, man, my relatives all thought, oh, that's so mean. Guess what? I never touched the stove again. I stayed away from it. And I knew it was hot. I mean, I didn't get a third-degree burn or anything. I mean, she didn't stick it on there for a minute till it was smoking. She just stuck it on there, and I felt it, you know, and it was hot. Okay, I get it. Instead of having to tell me over and over and over again. I didn't learn by her telling me over and over again. I learned when my hand got on the stove and it got burnt. Guess what? You know what? Guess what? I'm going to be careful around that. So we learn that way, right? We do learn from instruction sometime if we're wise. If we're wise, we learn from instruction. But there's other ways. Hey, you know, in the old days, if somebody came up to you with a scowl on their face and said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Well, you know they wasn't fixing to have a Bible study with you, right? Huh? I'm going to teach you a lesson, right? You know, and what are they going to do? What are you learning, right? You're learning. And so there's a lot of ways that we learn. But we really learn, we do learn from our mistakes, huh? And we learn, you know, we're often taught by affliction and trials. What do we say, and we know this from being Christians a long time. You know, we learn a lot more during a trial and affliction than we do. Huh? Why? Because we'll pray more. Yeah. We'll really lean on God. We'll lean on God. We'll trust God more when things are going rough than in prosperity. You always learn more that way. And when we're taught by God and the rod of affliction to know God, we know God rightly. We have to know Him rightly. We know to live rightly. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. Huh? Listen, my parents raised me right, and there was, they corrected me, and they made me do things. And you know, when you're a kid, you don't like doing that and all that. But I look back now, and I thank God that my parents raised me like that. I know what manners are. I'm not saying I always use them, but I try to. I know what to do. I know to respect my elders. I call them Mr. and Mrs. I open the door for the ladies if I can get around there. I even open the door for my wife sometime in the car. Get her in the car. If it's raining, she's for herself. But, you know, if it's raining real hard, I tell her, we're running out to the car. I'll say, every man for himself. And, you know, you got to get in, right? But I try to, you know, I mean, I'm glad my mom and dad raised me to say that. Please and thank you. No elbows on the table. You know, clean your feet off. Keep your shoes, you know, all those things that my parents raised me to do, you know. And so, you know, I'm thankful for that now. And it's the same way with God. We can thank God. Got spankings, whatever. Glad for that. You know, old King Manasseh, he was an evil king. But God allowed him to be afflicted by the Assyrians. He got carried off by the Assyrians. And guess what? He was one of those kings that got to be ruling, I think, when he was like 12 years old, real young. And the Bible said all the kings, they either did good in the sight of the Lord or did evil in the sight of the Lord. And his says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. But after he was carried off by the Assyrians, it said after that, he said he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly. And it said, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He learned something. He learned something, huh? Yeah, he learned the Lord was God. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it has a positive effect. The rod of this rod of correction. The rod of God teaches a man to know himself. That's probably the last thing we learn real well, right? To know ourselves. We see what we might have never seen without the disciplining rod or the rod of affliction from God. We see what we may have never seen. And so what if it makes us weaker as long as it makes us wiser? The sheep illustration. So what if he got a broken leg and he limps around, if he learned wiser and he stayed with the flock and he didn't get killed by wolves along the way? At the end of it all, the sheep would say, yeah, I was glad that happened, if a sheep could talk, tell you those things. God's afflicting rod, the second thing, God's afflicting rod comforts us as a token of God's love. Look what Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. So guess what? My parents didn't whip any of the other neighborhood kids, although they probably felt like it. But in my day, you could have done that, and I did get a whipping from, I think I told y'all, Mrs. Ryan, she gave me a whipping one time. She wasn't my mom, but she wanted me to do right, too. And then I got another whipping when my mom and dad found out I got a whipping from her. But the fact that God, is he chastens whom he loves? Well, that's pretty good news, right? If you get chastened by God, what does that mean? God loves you. God loves you in another way. So we always want to look at God's love like a favor, or like a deliverance from something. Hey, boy, I got healed. I got a good report from the doctor. God is good, right? Huh? Oh, I wanted the dance team to do good at the thing, and boy, God is good, right? So we look at that. We always look at it that way. We got that good medical report. But listen, God in affliction is good too. Huh? He chasteneth those whom he loves. That's good, right? That's good. I'm glad that God doesn't let us go off on the wrong path forever and ever and ever. God doesn't send us down the wrong path, and he doesn't let us stay on that path. That's a good thing. God, that's why we correct our kids, right? You know, love, not correcting somebody is not love. I'm just going to let them do whatever they want because I love them. No, if you love them, you're not going to let them do whatever they want. You're going to raise them up right. You raise your kid. God's the same way. Why? You know, God's not going to let us do what we want. God's going to, because he loves us. No, it's no love to let somebody go on in sin. It's not. God doesn't, listen to this. God doesn't spare the rod in love. He spares the rod in his anger. That sounds backwards, doesn't it? He doesn't spare the rod in love. He gives it to you, huh? What did it tell you about your kids? What did it take to do with a rod? Put it on her backside, right? He gives you some good instructions, tell you what to use, where to use it. But in his anger, there's some verses in Hosea. You know, God let them go on in their whoredoms and idolatry. That's what it was called. He let them go on in that. He said, you know what? I'm not gonna correct you. He wouldn't correct them. Let them go on in their sin. That was more punishment than if God had corrected them with the rod. Huh? Yeah, you know what? Go ahead. How many of you ever, I remember this story. This didn't happen with me because I didn't have a problem with it. But I've heard stories. People said, yeah, my parents caught me smoking. And they took a bunch of cigarettes in the ashtray and stuff and put them in water and all that and made me drink that. Anybody ever have to do that? Huh? I believe that would cure you. Hey, if you want to quit, if you smoke and you want to kick the habit, try that one. Try that one. They said, well, I'll give you what you want. Another one, apparently, they said, okay, you want to smoke here? Smoke this one. Smoke that one. Smoke this one. You smoked them until you got sick. I wanted to try chewing tobacco one time. I did try that. Down there in Grayson County, went down there. We was going bean picking. Bean picking for $1 a bushel. That's what you got, $1 a bushel. 32 pounds was a bushel. It's a lot of beans. I made $4 a day. I was just a young kid. But the other boys that was there, he was a country boy from get-go, 12 years old. Mama, you going to the store? Will you give me a plug of tobacco when you're down there? Okay. You know, you tell him, and mom would get him a plug of tobacco. Man, had that old plug tobacco. I said, well, I'm going to try it. I'm going to be a man like the rest of them guys. I got a big old wad of that stuff, man. Man, I'm telling you what, you know, them guys, they sit around for an hour before they spit that stuff out. I was spitting every 3 seconds. Good night. It was a big wad of water. My man, I couldn't stop from spitting, man. I had that stuff. And the next thing you know, I was getting woozy as all get out, man. So I got in the back of a pickup truck, and I got in there, man, and I laid down. And boy, I put 1 foot out of the bed of that truck on the ground. And I was laying in the back of that truck, and everything was going around and around. I only made $2 that day. And that ended. Huh? I got what I wanted, right? Better than somebody catching me and saying, hey, I'm going to give you a spanking for chewing tobacco. Go ahead and chew it. Huh? Go ahead and chew it. Never chewed it, never touched it, never wanted to touch it since. No problem, no fuss, no muss. Never did. And so God does the same thing. See, God will say, okay, I'm gonna let you go on in it. Huh? Remember the Israelites? Boy, they wanted them old. We wanted some meat. Man, we wanted meat. We sick of eating that manna. God, all right, I'll give you some meat. Here it is. Ate it, said it ran out their nostrils. You pretty sick when you got it running out your nostrils, right? Huh? Y'all getting a visual on that, right? Everybody hungry? God, he spares the rod in his anger, not in his love. Huh? And in a way, it still probably is his love. He's just going about it another way. Huh? You'd be better off. I'd have been better off to get a whipping for chewing the back than going ahead and chewing it. The rod of God makes way for comfort. The rod of discipline, rod of affliction makes way for comfort. You know, in the old days, I guess I've never had this. I don't know. I've never had castor oil for anything. I don't even know what they give it to you for. Anybody ever had it? It's supposed to cure what ails you, but it don't taste good, huh? So the medicine sometimes, there's medicine that didn't taste good. It may be bitter, but there's comfort in it. If you take it, it's going to help you. It's the same way with the rod of affliction, or the rod of discipline, the discipline rod of God. You know, it's maybe a bitter thing, but there's health in it or correction in it. And so the sharpest trials make way for the sweetest comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Listen, you know, you always think, I look at things like this. Think I'll say, well, boy, you know what, boy, I got sick, and man, I got cancer, whatever I got, and I got this major thing, but I'm just praying that God will touch and heal me and all this. Have you ever thought about this? You know, if God didn't want me to have it, he could have just kept me from having it, right? He could have kept us from getting sick, right? Why didn't he do that? Think about this, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, remember that? They said, oh, yeah, the Lord was walking around in there with them. He could have kept them from going in the fiery furnace at all. Right? He could have just changed the king's mind. He could have wiped everybody out. He wouldn't have went in. But they'd have never experienced walking around in the fiery furnace with the Lord. Huh? What was better? I mean, I use them a lot. That's a good illustration. They would have never experienced that trial of getting, you know, going through the whatever fear they might have had. They didn't know that's what was going to happen. Because they said, King said, whether you kill us or not, I'm going to paraphrase, whether you kill us or not, this is from the Daniel Boone version of the Bible, whether you kill us or not, we're not going to bow down and worship. Whether you kill us, whether God lets us die, whether we get delivered, we're not going to bow down and worship that golden image. They didn't know that God was going to deliver them. He don't deliver everybody, right? Everybody didn't get delivered. We're just studying in Hebrews. We went through a whole list of people that sawn asunder and stoned to death, fed to the lions. He didn't deliver everybody. They didn't know that. So, man, there was the normal amount of fear and sweating the load. They got them down there to the furnace so hot it slew the people that threw them in there. But they got to walk around in the fire, man, and there was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ walking around with them. If you want a technical word, it's a Christophany. It was Christ walking around in there with them, and they would have never experienced that, and they never experienced the closeness of God that close before. See, so a trial of affliction will cause that. The rod of affliction carries with it the good news that this is the worst it's ever going to be. Huh? For a child of God, listen, God, the correcting rod of God is the worst thing we're going to experience in this life here on this earth. 1 Corinthians 11:32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We get chastened of the Lord. Well, one, we already know that tells us that God loves us. We're chastened of the Lord, and God's keeping us from sin. We're not going to be condemned with the world. Huh? I'd rather take the chastening of the Lord any day of the week. Huh? Any day of the week. I was just reading this. I can't figure out why, for if it's for Wednesday night, but it popped in my mind where, you remember David, he had three choices. I don't know if I've written this down. I don't believe I did write it on this. Remember David had three, because of his sin and numbering the people, there was three things. It was going to be 3 days of pestilence, 3 days of, or 3 months maybe of a drought, a famine. And then there was going to be three days of the enemies being, the fighting with the enemies or whatever. He said, well, I think it was 3 days for that, 3 months, 3 weeks, something, 3 months. He said, well, he wanted to take what God was going to give him. He said, I didn't want to fall into the hand of man. He said, I want to be fall into the hand of the Lord because perhaps he'll show mercy. He'll have mercy if he falls into the hand of the Lord. And so he did that. And I think that was pestilence. The 3 days of pestilence is what he fell into, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, good idea. And to fall into the hands of the Lord. You know, we're judged when we're judged of the Lord, that means we're not going to be condemned with the world. Man, that's a comforting thing. So the worst we're ever going to go through is what God may put us through in this life, and he's going to do it out of love, you know, we can rest assured in that. The wrath to come is going to be a lot worse than the chastening of God, and that's going to be a light thing as compared to the wrath that's going to come. The rod of affliction, correction makes us happy. Makes us happy. Job, you know, look at Job's life. You know what all happened to Job, right? Job 5:17, he said, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. He's happy. He's happy. Why is he happy? Well, for several things I've already said, that he knows that God loves him. And, you know, happiness, usually we think of it being, riches or position or wisdom, pleasure, or whatever. But why? But you know, too many people don't place happiness and affliction there. So how and why is this man happy? Well, happy because he's made better. He's made better by the correction of God, the affliction of God. Listen, the cross made an outward condition worse, but it made the heart, makes the heart better. Our cross even makes the outward condition worse, but the heart better. God has a healing rod. It's a healing rod. It may hurt, but it heals. And the fact that God takes note of us, that God even takes note of us, he desires for us to do right. When you think about that, that God is noticing us and he wants us to do right and that he corrects us the right way. Doesn't that just tell you that God loves you? Now, that just tells you right away. That tells us that God cares about us. I'm going to tell you what, you can be happy in that. Even if we get the correcting rod, we can be happy that the fact that God didn't allow us to go on the way we wanted to go. And then God's rod of affliction is meant to bring us to glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the Bible says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I mean, boy, listen to that. God's bringing, listen, it's like somebody put it this way. I was reading about that. It's like somebody throwing bags of money at you that bruises you, but they leave all them riches laying right there. Huh? I mean, that's what it'd be like with what God does. So we see God's rod, the rod of comfort, and it comforts us this way. There's a difference between the wicked and the godly. We see that as well. There's a difference between the wicked and the godly. And David said, listen, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And listen, if God's rod of comfort, if God's rod of comfort, it comforts us, what does God's love do? If God can make a prison sweet, just think what heaven will be like. If there's comfort in the valley of tears, just think what paradise will be. If afflicting mercy is great, what will crowning mercy be? God's rod makes us better. There's comfort in that. And then we can feel just like David when he said this at the end. He said in the psalm there, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm comforted in all those things in knowing how God deals with me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope that helped you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, thank you for correcting us, Lord. Thank you for that rod in our life. And that you convict us, Lord. Sometimes that's all it takes, Lord. Sometimes you do have to teach us in a harder way, Lord, but thankful that you do that and you don't leave us alone. You don't leave us to ourselves. You don't leave us to our sin. We're thankful for that, Lord. Thank you for loving us and directing us and guiding us that way. And we just thank you for all these things and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation is hymn 324.